An interesting thing happened to me. I was approached by a man who was commissioned to write a book about Jesus. And he wanted to know, just speak to someone who, you know, if you've met Jesus. So the book basically is, who was Jesus? What has he done? And then for those people that have met him, like, how has he changed his life? And it forced me to ask myself, how has Jesus changed my life? And it was great because it kind of just look back at your history. You look at, you know, how things have changed. And I remember the moment I met him. I was fishing. And actually, it was not just fishing. Fishing had ended. I was sitting outside, actually, and was busy cleaning the fish equipment because my dad always told me that once you use something, you need to clean it. So I was busy cleaning the fishing equipment, and it was starting to get quite hot. Now, if any of you are fishermen and you know what it is to fish, the best time to fish is at night. Not really in the mornings because it gets too hot. So you want to do it at night. The fish are all coming to the surface. That's the best time to do it, right? So we had fished through the night, and we got there, and it was one of those nights where we fished hard, and it was great, and we caught absolutely nothing. Actually, no, I lie. No, we caught like little ones, but you can't really do much with little ones, so you threw it back in. Anyway, but so we did all this, and it was great, it was fun, but nothing happened. And so we kind of came back to shore, and, you know, you park the boat, kind of hung out, getting inside, cleaning the equipment, and I was busy cleaning. And while I was cleaning, I kind of noticed just off to the side, there was a bit of a, I don't want to say a commotion, but there were some people, they were gathering, and they were chatting, and as we came, as the sun kind of rose up, and, you know, shoulders tired, and sun hit in the back of your head, I kind of noticed it off to the side that crowd, or that group of people, was a bit more than a crowd. In fact, it was getting bigger and bigger, and it was a bit far away, so you can't really hear what's going on. You can hear every now and then there's some words kind of drift as the wind kind of blows, and you can hear those words, but you couldn't really take what's getting on. So it kind of was just this mumble in the background. So it kind of puts you into a bit of a doze. Have you ever had that? Like, I think it's called white noise, but it was just happening in the back there. There were seagulls and there were people. And over time, that crowd got bigger and bigger. And I noticed that there was a guy standing there talking. And he was speaking. And immediately, I kind of knew, like, oh, yeah, it's one of those preachers. Yeah, speaking again. And these people are all listening. Oh, great. Why did I park the boat here? Because that was just off the side there. Anyway, so I carried on, and the crowd got bigger and bigger, and I wasn't really paying attention. In fact, all I was thinking was, I just want to get home and sleep. This has been a long day. It's been a busy day. I just want to get a nap. And so I continued cleaning slowly, and I was disturbed by a very friendly, hello, excuse me. And I kind of like got shaken out of my daze that I was in, and I kind of was like, oh, so what? I looked up, and I looked up, and just so it happened, the sun was hitting from that end, so this guy was in front of the sun, so all I could see was this black little thing with this halo on top, kind of like just, I was like, sorry, what? And he goes, hello, may I speak to you for a moment? And I was like, Yes. You may speak to me. Yes, you may. He goes, are these your boats? And I kind of looked over, and, you know, my pride and joy, kind of was like, yeah, that's my boats. That's mine. And he goes, do you mind if I, can I borrow it? And I kind of looked at him, and like, my boat. You want to borrow my boat? Those ones, there. Bobbing on the water, that one. You want to borrow those? And he was like, yes. And it was a strange experience, right? Because it's a guy I've never met. And yet, when I looked at him, and he looked at me, smiled, and he ever met those people that have like knowing eyes? That when they look at you, they're kind of as if they know you. And he kind of looked at me and he goes, yeah, do you mind if I borrow your boat? And I kind of was like, but it's my boat. It's mine. Okay, fair enough. It's looking a little bit seaworthy. It's been out in the storms a couple of times. It's got stuff on it, and I haven't painted it in a while, but it's my boat. You want my boat? And you mean, yes. Do you mind if I borrow it? And I was like, okay. What are you going to do with my boat? And he went, I just want to sit on. As you can look around, you can see there's a huge crowd of people here. There are a lot of people. And it's getting a bit more difficult to speak to them because they're kind of pushing me into the water, and I actually really want to speak to them. So if you just don't mind, just push your boat slightly off the shore. I'll just get on it, and I'll be able to speak to the people from the boat. And I was like, right, okay. I'll just stand right here and watch you in case anything happens. And so he kind of climbed into the boat, and I kind of like pushed it off. Thankfully, I mean, it wasn't too far. It just kind of slightly off the shore. And then I watched him, and he began to speak. And as he spoke, he began to share about God's love, right? And it just was the most engaging thing. And he spoke with such authority. He spoke as if he really understood our history. He really understood all the stuff that had come in the past, and he put it and made sense. And as he spoke, and he was joyful, and he shared, and I had never seen anyone speak in this way before. He knew what he was talking about. He wasn't shouting and screaming and making a noise and screaming at people. No, he calmly, lovingly just spoke about God. And I kind of found myself mesmerized by him. I found myself listening to him, and then he said something that was really interesting, because it reminded me of one of these preachers that was kind of loud and out there and kind of weird kind of guys that had spoken a few months before that, had come around saying, repent, the kingdom of God is near. And he was this weird guy, right? I mean, he had crazy hair, he wore weird stuff. Apparently, he ate some nasty insects and stuff. But he was people followed him because he was pretty cool. I mean, he kind of just gathered the crowd and shouted, repent! And people would all come listening. And yet, this man, he did not say, repent, the kingdom of God is here, is near. He calmly and lovingly, as he spoke of God's love, he looked at the crowd as if he knew every single one of this massive crowd out there. And he said, repent. The kingdom of God is here. And as he spoke, I found myself being drawn to him. I found myself wanting to hear more, and even forgot to clean the rest of the nets that were there. I just kind of put it down, and I just sat there listening to him. And the people began to like sing and shout, and they were like, saying, this is it. This is who we're waiting for. This is the one. And even, I must admit, even as a fisherman, I got caught up in it. And I was like, woohoo, look at this. And I was really excited. So I was hearing this man speak. And as the day went on, people began to leave because, I mean, he had spoken, he was cantering. And so I kind of like pulled the boat to shore, and I'm like looking at him, kind of really shocked. And he said, what is your name? I was like, oh, me. Hi. I'm Simon. I'm Simon. I run this fishing boat here. And the man looked at me and said, Simon, my name is Jesus. And I was like, actually, no, I kind of knew about you. I've heard about you. You were known in the area. I've heard you say, so I kind of knew who you were. And it's cool. Jesus, cool. And he went, Simon, I want you to do something. And I was like, well, you've got my boat already, Jesus. I can't really do much. I'm just a fisherman, right? He was like, Simon, I want you to push your boat into some deeper water. And then throw out your nets. And I was like, well, you know, Jesus, listen, I know you can teach. I've heard that you can teach stuff, and you teach some really good stuff. But see, I'm a fisherman. I know this lake. I know how it works. I know what's the best time. In fact, I've been fishing the whole night, so I kind of know what it's kind of like in these waters right now, and it's not the best time to, you know, to push out. And Jesus looked at me, and he kind of had that knowing nod. You know, when you're speaking to someone, and they kind of know something, and he just smiles and he nods, and I'm like, and every excuse I kind of came off, and I was like, but also, you know, pushing out to deeper water right now, not the greatest thing, I must say. As I said before, the boat, yeah, she's not in the best shape. I don't want to really put some pressure on it. It's a bit seaworthy. It doesn't look the greatest. I don't want to push it out. And Jesus just nodded and smiled. And after I'd come up with excuse after excuse after excuse, he said, "So, do you want to push this boat out into the deeper water and throw out your nets?" And I was like, "Well, you know, Jesus, it's been a long day. I've been here since the morning. My back is sore. I've been pulling. And, you know, it's... But I tell you what, because it's you, I trust you. I'm going to do it." Now, the good news is that the deeper water wasn't very far from shore, so it wasn't a big jump. So I kind of pushed it out and kind of looked at him smiling, and he goes, "Well, throw out the nets. Throw the nets out." And I was like, "Well, I'll throw out the nets." And I grabbed it, tugged it. And as I was tugging, I was looking at him like, "Jeepers, these nets are looking old, eh?" Yeah, anyway. So I took it and I threw it in. And I kind of looked at him and said, "Okay, I threw it." And he smiled at me and says, "Why don't you pull it in now?" I was like, I just threw it out. It's not even settling in there. Like, he says, "No, just pull it in." And I was like, "Fine, I'll pull it in." And I grabbed it and I tugged. I was like, "Oh man, it must have got stuck on a rock." So I looked over the edge. And when I looked over, I could not believe what I was seeing. It was this massive net that was filled with all the fish that I'd ever seen in my life. In fact, that was probably the most fish I'd seen in my whole life as a fisherman. I was like, "There's fish in there." Jesus says, "Yes, I know. Pull it in." I'm like, "But there's fish in there." He says, "Yes, that's why I told you. Throw it over the side." I'm like, "What?" So I started pulling and I'm pulling and I started getting it onto the boat, but the nets were starting to tear. It was old nets. And I was like pulling on these things and I'm pulling and I'm pulling and I'm pulling. And eventually I was like, I saw my friends that were out and like, "Guys, come, I need help. I've got fish." And they were like, "What?" He's like, "I've got fish." And so they kind of came paddling out and they were looking, they were like, "What in the world?" And so we again pulled this net up and our boat started to sink. So it like got in and it was pointing to up in the air. And we're like, "We got to get back before we sink." And they were all going, "What happened? There was no fish last night. Now there's a whole lot of fish." And I looked at this, I looked at Jesus who was just standing there smiling with that nod and going, "Mm-hmm, mm-hmm." And I was like, in that moment, I thought of what he had said. I began to put together the stories that I had learned as a child in my head. And I looked to him. And I dropped to my knees. And I said, "Go away from me. I'm a sinful man." Jesus looked at me, smiled again, that loving smile, grabbed my hand, picked me up, and said, "Hey, Simon. I want you to do something for me. Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And this was a big deal for me. You see, as a child, all of us growing up, the one thing that you want to be is a disciple of a rabbi. And you spend those years learning the scriptures, and that's it. And when you turn 13, you find yourself a rabbi, and you go present all your knowledge before him. You come stand before him, and he will tell you whether you're good enough or not. And only the ones that he thinks is good enough, he says, "Okay, you can follow me." And if you don't get chosen, well, you have to become a tradesman, a carpenter, a fisherman, I don't know, something. But you can't be with the rabbi. You can't be a disciple. And here was this teacher. Here was this rabbi who had just shown me the most amazing thing, who I suddenly realized from my understanding who he was, that he was the Son of God. And he was saying, "Simon, follow me. Follow me." I didn't have to present myself as the best. I didn't have to know everything. I didn't have to be the one with the most head knowledge of how things work and every single rule and regulation that I had learned. I didn't need to know any of that. All I had to do was follow him. And you know what? That became my journey for the next 3 years. It was a journey of incredible, of seeing the most magnificent things, the most amazing things, sometimes the most scary things, actually. I won't lie. There's some things that happen. I kind of was like, whoa, that's just scary. But it was incredible. We were walking, and Jesus would walk beside us. He would show us. He would kind of show us exactly how to do things. We learned to be a disciple. We learned what it meant. And there were times there was some awkward stuff that happened. I remember once we were kind of going and Jesus had finished teaching and people were like listening. Everyone was like, oh, I want to be part of this. This is amazing. This must be. Because everyone knew that there was something special about Jesus. They're all like, we want to be part of this. And this young guy came up to me and says, Jesus, I want to follow you. But you see, I've got a slight problem, Jesus. Okay, I want to follow you, but I need to bury my dad. And Jesus kind of looked at him lovingly and said, let the dead bury the dead. I'm not going to lie. The rest of us are kind of like, jeepers, Jesus, that's a bit awkward. Yeah, really? But we begin to learn that Jesus spoke. He is calling us to a life of service, a life that's on mission. And sometimes there are things around us that happen in the daily parts of life that will happen. We can't let that be a distraction because he is calling us on a mission. That has been my story of meeting Jesus. That is what he has done. That's how he has indelibly changed my life. You see, I'm Simon Peter. I'm not just a fisherman. I'm a fisher of men because of what Jesus did in me. Now, you probably understand by now that's not, I'm not Simon. But this morning, the passage that we're looking at, as we're going in the series of Closer, we're looking at the time that Jesus called the disciples. In fact, this is found in Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 12, and a little next bit of chapter 9, verse 57 to 62. And that is what we wanted. I wanted you to tell the story, not because I don't want you to read. I want you to go back and read the passage. But the thing with the book of Luke, it is a witness, a first-person witness account. So basically, when you read the text, when you read the story of Jesus calling disciples, when you read the story of the birth of John, when you read the story of the birth of Jesus, Luke had actually interviewed the people involved. So with the birth of John, right at the beginning, he probably was speaking to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was relaying the story of what happened. When you read about Jesus and his birth, he most likely was speaking to Mary. So these are what we call first-person accounts. And I always find it interesting, when you read the book of Luke, for me in particular, when I read the first-person account in the book of Luke, I want to actually understand what it is to be that person encountering Jesus, right? In fact, it's a helpful tool that I use, and maybe you can use it as well. It's a helpful tool to insert yourself into the story. In fact, maybe, in a sense, wear the same shoe. You're wearing the shoes of the person in the case. Oh, wearing the sandals of the person who's in the story, right? And you get you involved. And it's not because it makes it better or less, but what it does is help you understand the humanity of these people. And when they're encountering Jesus, how that changes them. All right, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I'm going to give you 3 points that I want us to take away from this. The short 3 points. And here's the thing. Stories like this are helpful to have things to hook on. So, what is Jesus calling us to do? Jesus calls us to put our boat slightly off the shore. Or another way of saying, Jesus is calling us to faith. He's calling you to faith in him. Now, there are many in this room that probably understand that. Many of you have done that already, have trusted him and have pushed your boat slightly off the shore. You've trusted him with your seaworthy but battered boat that has been through many storms, that have been left on the beach to be beaten by the sun, that has had many experiences on the ocean. where you have been the captain of it. You have controlled it. But Jesus is saying, I want, so just trust me, help me push this boat slightly off the shore and give it to me. So you may have had that experience of coming to faith in Jesus, but maybe there's someone in the room today that's not the case. And as you hear the story, as you listen to it, you are asking yourself, what would it look like for me to push my boat slightly off the shore with Jesus on the boat? What will that look like? Trusting him with your heart, trusting him with your life. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You see, pushing your boat slightly off the shore is leaving it in the control of Jesus. And he's saying, hey, trust me. Give me your boat. Give me your heart. Give me your life. Point number two. He knows us. You've pushed the boat slightly off the shore. He's calling you to faith. But he also calls us to put into deeper water. You see, Jesus is calling us to deeper obedience. What does that mean for us? I think for most of us in the room, we might be asking ourselves that question right now. What does it mean to push our boat deeper into water and throw out our nets? What does it mean to trust Jesus in obedience? You see, the thing is, he knows you. Jesus knows you. But he wants you to know him. And he wants you to experience him in his fullness. Now, we all can have stories. I've got a little story here that I'm going to share from my life. It's a small analogy. It's probably not perfect. But it's one of those things where I learned what it means to trust God in full obedience. When I was a kid, when I was like 11, 12, I grew up in a town, in one town, and I went to school in another town, which means church friends and school friends were two different people, okay? And chances of them ever connecting were very, very slight. And in that time, I developed two lives. I became, at church, I was your typical cool, you know, kid that went to church, knew his memory verse, went to Sunday school. We had a Sunday school that you could win book prizes. You guys ever been to Sunday school where you can win book prizes and stuff? Yeah, so I would win all the book prizes because I knew all my stuff. But at school, I was a very different person. And it was this. I thought that in order to have influence, to be loved, to be cared for, to be important, I needed to be like those other people at school. Now, in school, you generally have your cool kids and your uncool kids. I was part of the cool kids, which meant I thought I needed to do all the things that cool kids do. And so even at 11 and 12 year olds, I had developed a character, a facade that was incredibly, if I look bad now, I kind of cringe, right? And it was all because I thought I needed that. And so I remember once it was a typical afternoon during the break at school, a cricket game. School by cricket can get quite intense, you would know. And I remember something happened. I don't even remember what happened, but I just remember like totally losing it at this one guy. Like absolutely losing it. And I mean, the words and language that I used was just outrageous. And I just went at this guy and a bell rang and we had to go back to class. And I was storming back to class. And my friend who was behind me, who doesn't know Jesus, comes from a different religion altogether, who was probably one of the ultimate cool kids that everybody wanted to be around, was walking behind me. And I turned around and looked at him and said, what's wrong with you? And he just said, Lester, of all the guys I know, you were the last person I expected to do that. You see, at that stage, I already had met Jesus. I had known Jesus. I had known who he was. But in that moment, God used this guy to push and say, hey, are you willing to be obedient to me? Now, that means push your boat into deeper water and do something different. And in that moment, God challenged me, and it was one of those pivotal markers in my life where my life changed. I made a decision. I can't live like this. And I'm going to live for Jesus, even if it means I'm no longer part of that group of kids anymore. And I did. And God, in his grace, opened doors for me into high school and going forward, that I could do things and speak into issues with my group of friends, which they still stayed my friends, which had incredible impact. I remember one, like, it got to a point, it was kind of weird, where if the kids does something wrong, like there was a swear, somebody would swear something, and I'll be in the room, they'd be like, oh, sorry, Lester. Yeah, sorry, man, I shouldn't have done that, you know? And it was God said, trust me, push your boat into deeper water, be obedient to me, and I will carry you. I will make a way. That might be a thing for something for you today. You know him, but he wants you to know him. And the only way you're going to know him is that if you trust him and you allow yourself to be pushed into the deeper waters, letting go of things that you think you need to hold on to in order to make sure you survive. But he's saying, hey, trust me. I will carry you. I will carry you. It's the only way you'll get to live life and life in its fullness. In John 10:10, he says, a thief comes to steal and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life and life in its fullness. And you will only experience his fullness if you push out into the deeper water and listen to him. Last point. Keep our eyes on the prize. Or Jesus calls us to mission. A call to serve this mission is an all or nothing deal. We can't fool ourselves in thinking like, hey, I can just accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior and I can live in a way like this, but actually I've got other stuff that I'm trying to solve. If we fool ourselves in thinking that we can actually serve God and also serve our interests, it just doesn't work. And Jesus is very clear. Jesus was in Luke 9, it's this instance where this young man came to Jesus and said, hey, you know, I want to follow you, but I'm going to bury my dad. And so from the surface, that kind of looks a bit harsh how Jesus responds to him. But what we do know, most commentators says, was actually his dad wasn't dead. His dad was probably alive. But the problem was, if he chose to walk after Jesus and follow after Jesus, he would then risk losing whatever financial windfall he will get in terms of his inheritance. If if his father dies, he might lose it. His father might cut him off. Because that's what, basically in that society, what kind of could happen. If you kind of stepped away from the family religion or so, you could be cut off. And so he was saying, hey, I believe Jesus. I know what he's saying. I want to follow him. But let me just sort out this issue and wait for my father to die. And once that's closed, I can follow him. And Jesus is like, no. You got to trust me. There's a mission. And as my disciple, I'm calling you to the mission. Let the dead deal with the dead. And that's not saying just forget about it. He's saying those are things in life. There are things in life that will happen. You're going to have to deal with it. But my mission takes precedence. That is what I'm calling you to. The mission of the gospel takes precedence in our lives. You can't try and dig a row for farming. Use the next analogy. He says you can't dig a furrow and try to draw it as you dig and push the thing by looking backwards and pushing, because you end up going to go and skew. He says you got to keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eyes on me. That's what I'm calling you to. That is the mission. So let's close. Quick summary then. Jesus calls us to be his disciples. And when he calls us to be disciples, we are called to have faith in him. Revelation 3 verse 20 says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. He's inviting you to push your boat slightly off the shore. Point number 2, we are called. Jesus calls us to be disciples. He calls us to be obedient to him. James 1:25 says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, that they will be blessed in what they do. Point number 3, and the final point, we are called to focus on him. Matthew 6:33-34 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jubilee, we are called to be disciples. Are you willing to push your boat slightly off the shore and then push it into deeper water, and keeping your focus on Jesus? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you called us. Thank you that you call us to be your disciple and you call us to be closer to you. Thank you for the examples that we have in Scripture that we can reflect on. But thank you, Father, that the same God that spoke to Simon Peter and called him called us today. We can trust you. We thank you for your goodness to us. In your mighty name, amen.